One can almost hear them discussing with one another before they went out to the Jordan River, those Pharisees and Sadducees. A certain air of excitement maybe was present in their group because there was quite a spectacle they heard going on out by the Jordan River. There was a prophet out there, at least one who claimed to be a prophet. And there hadn't been anything like that in their region, in their country, in quite some time. Certainly not in their lifetime. As a matter of fact, this guy, from what they heard, looked very much like one of the prophets of old, one of those prophets from the Old Testament they were told about and taught about. He was dressed like them, at least what they were told they dressed like. He was out there preaching like they were out there preaching. And they knew that it had been 400 years since the prophet Malachi had been on the scene. What was going on? Add to that the fact that a whole lot of people were flocking out to hear this guy. And they said, we got to go too. We got to go too. Now get that picture. The Pharisees and the Sadducees heading out to see John the Baptist. They had to know. They had to know what was going on. After all, they were some of the religious elite of their day. And they should be well enough versed, get some first-hand information about what's going on with this guy. And so they go. And can you imagine the shock that those Pharisees and Sadducees received when they went out to see what was going on? Not necessarily John himself and how he was dressed and what his diet consisted of. That diet was fairly normal for those who were living in the desert. But what he was saying to them. They could certainly understand him saying what he was saying to the masses at large. But to them? Certainly not. Because what John was saying to the Pharisees and the Sadducees equated them with the worst of Gentile sinners. And that certainly wasn't them. John the Baptist looked at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he had the same message for them as he did everybody else. And it was a simple word, repent. Repent. And bring forth fruit worthy of repentance in your life. How dare he say that to us? So the Pharisees and Sadducees felt. But John knew. John knew they were no different than anyone else. That as human beings, they needed to repent. And that repentance was the only way that the way would be prepared for the coming Messiah. There is no other way. That stands true today. How do we prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem? Repent. How do we prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ at the end of time? Repent. Live a life of daily repentance. But there are many, many people in the church today, just like those Pharisees of old, who don't want to hear that. Who don't think it applies to them. The Pharisees in our text, let's face it, did not come, although the translation is a little bit misleading this morning, did not come to be baptized by John. What the text tells us literally is that those Pharisees came to the baptism. Not with the intent of being baptized, they were there as spectators. And John said, you know, when it comes to the seriousness of this advent, of the coming one, you can't be a spectator. When it comes to Jesus Christ, the one whose sandals I'm not worthy to loosen, You can't be a spectator. There is no such thing. Pharisees didn't want to hear that. And there are many in the church today who don't want to hear that. Because there are many in the church today who are attending church simply as spectators. Let's go see what's going on. Let's go see what the preacher has to say today. And then that's it. That's the end of it. They're spectators only. John says, you who come as spectators, repent. Because this is the only way to prepare for this coming one. John looked at the Pharisees and he said, don't you dare tell me we're sons of Abraham. We have Abraham as our father. We don't need to repent because we are who we are. John says to that mindset, repent. And today there are many within the church, at least on the rolls of the church, who are depending on that pedigree to get them into heaven. Oh, they're not saying we're sons of Abraham, but they are saying we're members of a church. As if that's enough. That word repent does not apply to us, therefore. We go to church, at least. They don't. John looks at that mind and he says, repent. Yeah, John's message is relevant, is it not? For us in our day and age. The Pharisees didn't think they needed to repent. John knew they did. And many in our day and age, particularly in this day and age, when talk of sin and repentance is just politically incorrect, don't feel they need to repent. But as long as I still engage in gossip, as long as I still exhibit selfishness in my life, as long as I am apathetic toward the church, toward the Word of God and everything connected to it, as long as I am living a very, very materialistic life where the things of this world count most, as long as I am full of pride with a boastful ego, I need to repent. And the words of John come tumbling down to me, repent. Admit you're sinful. That's the first step. Say, I'm not better than anyone else as I stand before God by myself. God forgive me. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's exactly why Jesus Christ came. To announce the forgiveness of God over that sin, free of charge. And while all I'm doing when I'm repenting is I'm not turning on the spigot of forgiveness, all I'm doing is admitting my need before God for His forgiveness. It's all He wants. It's all He calls for. Such a one, John the Baptist says, is truly prepared for whenever He comes. I can imagine the Pharisees were somewhat shocked in what they heard coming from the mouth of the Baptist. And I can imagine there are many in the church today who are just as shocked when they hear the words coming from the mouth of the Baptist. But know this, the Christ has come to forgive. And all He asks is that we let Him know that we know we need that forgiveness. Amen.